This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Brewers Outlet, and Purdy Insurance Company. I don't know why in the world would I go blank on the sponsors? They are very important to us, but I guess I wasn't ready to kick off the show on a Monday. Great win by Penn State on Saturday. Again, another slow start and another impressive performance by the defense in the second half. We will talk to Mark Roganrich at 2:05 about that. He will join us to talk about the Penn State football game. Let's see. Man, I did not have a great afternoon last night or last evening. I think within 5 minutes, my two favorite teams lost heartbreaking games. Boy, I can't say enough about that Phillies-Mets game, though, yesterday. That game, too, yesterday was one of the best baseball games I've seen in a while. A little sad the Mets came out on the short end of the stick, but it certainly was a thrilling and entertaining game. Kind of glad for Nick Castellanos. Kind of not glad. Really was rooting for the Mets there, and then Seahawks are losing the entire game to the Giants. Drive and score to get within three, get the ball back. Going to kick the game-tying field goal, and the Giants, of course, block it and return it for a touchdown and clinch a victory. So sad. I was not happy with that. It was a bad 5 minutes if you were a Mets/Seahawks fan, as I am, though I'm not sure how many of those intersections there are in this world. But, yeah. And then again, if you watch the Steelers last night, I'm sure that was frustrating as well. You know, the offense, you know, puts together a drive to take the lead, and the defense, which has been so good all season, just struggled to get a stop late. And it was a good route by the Tolbert guy, and you know, got across the defense and got himself open, and Dak had enough time to wait for him to get open and completed the pass, and you know, the Cowboys get a win. And now, you know, I think, after watching that game, there's obviously some serious questions about the Steelers' offense. I think everybody that we talked to about the Steelers, from you know Neil Coulong to Nick Faribault to Jerry Dunlap, there's been a lot of talk about getting that second receiver, and you know I think that's as the season goes on that it's becoming more and more glaring that they need. They need somebody to take a little bit of pressure off George Pickens in the outside, and it was weird. You know, I don't know how many people saw this, but he played the least amount of snaps that he's played in his career, I think, since his rookie season. And they asked Coach Tomlin about it, and they said it was kind of a rest thing for him. So I wonder what I think that was just kind of an answer to. I don't know if cover something up is the correct way to put it, but I think there's something going on there that they probably don't want out into the open right now. So, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Steelers do. I don't think you can put last night on Justin Fields, but again, they're not getting those explosive plays offensively, and you got to wonder, you know, the way the the way the broadcasters talk last night, the national broadcasters talk, it seems like, you know, at least Mike Tomlin made it seem like to them that when Russell Wilson is healthy, he's going to get a shot as the starting quarterback for the Steelers. And, you know, Coach Tomlin's been pretty circumspect around that as Wilson's recovered for his injury. But I think, I mean, if you read the tea leaves from the beginning when they talked about this, when they acquired both quarterbacks, I think most people were under the impression that Russell Wilson was the starter up until the point that he pulled his, until he pulled his calf. It was at a couple days, you know, before training camp started when they were doing some conditioning and he was pushing the blocking sled and whatever happened there. But so it does sound like the Steelers might go back to Russell Wilson. I don't know if it would be this week yet if he's healthy. It sounds like he did practice before the game with the Cowboys. At least a little bit, so we'll see. What that's something we'll have to keep an eye on this week. Of course, Penn State makes its first West Coast trip this week. They're leaving Thursday. I saw probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock last night, the equipment trailer left State College for Los Angeles, so who's ever driving that truck's got a long trip. But the Nittany Lions head out on Thursday. That game is... that should be a fun Saturday with... USC at Penn State followed, or Penn State at USC followed by Ohio State and Oregon. You know, I think what? Three of the top four teams right now are Big Ten. Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State are 2, 3, and 4 right now. I think that's the first time that's ever happened in the AP top 25 poll. That will obviously shake out. And, you know, talking a little bit about yesterday, how fun was Saturday? You know, I think people were a little... don't think that Penn State played the greatest. You know, we talked a little bit about Friday that, you know, once you see the spread is 4 touchdowns and they don't win by 4 touchdowns, people are going to be disappointed. But, I mean, you look around the landscape of what happened in college football on Saturday, you got to just be happy with a win. I mean, Alabama lost, Tennessee lost. I forget what it was, like 1, 2, 4, 10, and I mean... and then I worked Friday night at the newspaper, so I was up pretty late. I didn't get home till 12:30, so I was able to catch most of that fourth quarter between Miami and Cal. And we almost had, you know, the Hurricanes upset, but, you know, Cam Ward was outstanding in the fourth quarter. I didn't see much beforehand. I turned it on, it was 35-10, so I saw all the good Hurricane parts. So I don't know if he struggled much early on or what happened there, how they got behind, but, you know... probably the last quarter and a half probably clinched at least the lead in the, you know, somebody's probably going to have to take the Heisman from him at this point. And, you know, especially the way he played it, he was almost 500 yards. He guided him back from 35-10 and the Hurricanes won. That game was so good. I went away from, I believe it was Arizona and Texas Tech as well. Arizona was down like 19 or 16 to 3 and had rallied to take a lead. But I couldn't take my eyes off of Miami. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even tell you who won Texas Tech and Arizona. I never went back to it. But yeah, so Cam Ward was outstanding in that fourth quarter. And it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. You know, they talked a lot about the West Coast teams coming east and in the Big Ten and struggling. It's going to be interesting to see how Penn State handles that West Coast trip, and you know, the first West Coast trip of the year. But you know, Steve doesn't think it's going to be much of a problem, you know, the way they talked last week. But again, you just never know. You know, it's just kind of, you know, football players and coaches are kind of creatures of routine, and this is the first time they've gone through this routine. So we'll kind of see how that works out. Why don't we take a break here? We'll take a break and see if Steve is around, and we will be back here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right, great to have you with us. Todd, I apologize for being a bit late, but after the press conference today, the TV people wanted to interview me in a little quick thing about the expansion of the conference, so it took a little longer than I thought it would take, so I apologize to you. I don't apologize to the audience about it. They were happy I wasn't here.
They got to listen to me lament about the Seahawks and the Mets.
Oh. Well, but see, the Philly series, I know Roger wants to talk about the Phillies. Okay, there's a lot of, like, you know, which is fine. But this is what makes sports fun, is that you don't know what's going to happen. So, game one, the Phillies have total control over game one. Wheeler is brilliant, like he usually is in the postseason. Not perfect, but, boy, he usually is really good on an everyday basis, but in the postseason, it really shows up how good he is. And through seven innings, he has total control over this game. One hit, right? What'd they have? One hit, right? Does that sound right?
Yeah, and like 36 swings and
right.
misses.
Right. So it's 1-0 on the Schwarber first inning home run. And I'm watching the game in the parking lot. I was doing football that day. You know, the game that had 110,000 people at it. So everybody has these TVs in the at their tailgates. So I was with some friends, and I'm watching it. He's just great watching him pitch. And then I said, here's going to be the problem. I said, they're going to do the typical 2024 thing. They're going to take him out, and they're going to go to the bullpen. I said, and they're going to lose the game. Oh, no, no. I said, really? Excuse me, Todd, can you tell me what happened?
I do believe they went to the bullpen and they lost
right.
the game.
Right. Guess what? I said to them, I watched. It's a different era in a different time, so I understand that completely. But I watched Louis Tiant throw 163 pitches in Game 4 of the World Series and win over the Reds 5-4. And they needed all 163 pitches from him. This guy got to 103. They shut him down on a day where they can't touch him. Shut him down. All right? Okay. Sandy Koufax pitched games 2, 5, and 7 of the 65 World Series. 2 days rest. Okay.
All right.
Mickey Lolich, games 2, 5, 7. 2 days rest. Won all three games.
Can Not Sandy all. Koufax comb his hair today, though?
Nope.
No.
Nope. But guess what? Okay? Different era. Different mindset. All right? As Buck Showalter said, Moneyball was a movie. You want to know why Moneyball worked? Do you want to know why? Because they had Barry Zito. They had Mark Mulder. They had a great pitching staff. That's how Moneyball worked. And he's right. He's right. Nobody ever talks about that. He's right. And not only that, you know what analytics has done? It's made it a more boring game. Now you go to game two. The Mets, in a topsy-turvy game, appear to have control of the thing, right? In fact, they did something interesting. They brought Diaz in the seventh inning. Remember that? And boy, did Castellanos come through. So here you are, the live drama of both games. And it's a game apiece going back to New York.
I thought the Diaz move was interesting because he's thrown a lot of pitches this week, and you could tell he wasn't super sharp.
No, he threw a lot of pitches against Milwaukee, that's for sure. He had thrown a lot of pitches. But the Phillies came through with the big triple when they needed it. Castellanos came through. Right? Their bullpen did enough. Now you got Nola's going to go in game three, right?
Yes.
Right? You know, great spot to put him in. Right? I agree, by the way, with what they did with the pitching. Sanchez's ERA, when it's three runs lower at home compared to on the road, I'll pitch him at home. Right? Nola can pitch anywhere. So I don't worry about that stuff. I think that was the right move to make. Okay? Without question, I thought Rob Thompson made a great move there. But I'm not yanking Wheeler at 103 pitches. Come on. You can't give me one more inning? Come on. They can't touch him. And there's stress of pitching in the playoffs. But let's take the stress of pitching in the playoffs aside for the moment. What stressful innings did he have?
No, and you got to feel like the Mets got a little bit of lift when they saw him leave the game.
Sure they did. The second he left, they went, all right, now we got a chance. Nobody wants to manage anymore with guts. Seriously, nobody wants to manage anymore with guts. Nobody wants to manage anymore with gut instinct because they don't want to be called into the GM's office and say that the analytics department said X, Y, and Z. I don't care what the analytics department says. Okay? When's the last time they managed a game? That's just me. I mean, now, doesn't mean the Mets in the ninth inning couldn't have done the same thing and won. Because they could have. But it's game apiece. It's been dramatic. The Phillies crowd, which thinks it's intimidating, isn't. That's the part I love. We're the most intimidating crowd in baseball. Well, how come the Astros beat you on your home field? How come the Diamondbacks beat you on your home field? How come the Mets won the first game? You weren't that intimidating. But you're great in terms of the crowd is great, energetic, and loud, but you're not intimidating. Baseball's different than football. Where a crowd can affect cadence, a crowd can affect communication, crowd can affect so many things. The ability of an offensive lineman to hear the quarterback, to hear a clap. The crowd has a great effect in football. They have no effect in baseball at all. None. I mean, they just don't. I mean, it's just a simple fact. I've got a bat, you got a ball, you pitch it, I hit it. Because you're not affecting any kind of communication. Now, you can affect communication in the field, especially when you're talking about a ball in the air and a right fielder and a center fielder. They might not be able to hear each other, okay? Because of the crowd, it is affected there. But in terms of the physical at-bat pitcher versus whatever, no. It doesn't affect anything. I mean, like hockey, the crowd's loud, energetic, but they're not affecting, right, the communication on the ice. Basketball, you know, the runs, the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, you affect the how great a team feels about itself. There's no question about that. But you don't actually intimidate a team. Nothing intimidating about it. I mean, unless you think they're all out there with weapons and they're going to run on the field, now I'd find that intimidating.
It is Philly.
Oh, that was from a Mets fan. I thought that was cruel. I mean, what, as if Flushing Meadow is Beverly Hills?
Touche, my friend.
Philadelphia, I just stuck up for you. It's like, look, I've been to Fenway Park. Fenway Park gets loud. I've been to Fenway Park 50 to 75 times. Do you think I think with that the crowd is intimidating the opposing team? No. But do I think they make it fun? Yes. And I think the Phillies fans are fun, fun, fun. The energy is fun, fun, fun. Intimidating? Au contraire. These are professionals.
This is Congressman Dan Muser. When I entered Congress in 2019, in President Trump's third year, inflation was nearly non-existent, gasoline was $2.37 a gallon, and America was energy dominant. Wages were up, unemployment was at record lows, our border was secure, and ISIS was defeated. There was peace in the Middle East, Ukraine, and around the world. I did get to know President Trump personally and saw his patriotism and unwavering determination to make America greater. But when Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the far left in Congress took over, they reversed all of President Trump's progress. America cannot afford another 4 years of their dangerously radical policies. I'm asking you to please vote for me, Dan Muser, and Donald J. Trump. Together, we will restore America's strength and make America great again. I'm Dan Muser, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. Paid for by Muser for Congress.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Great day with us. Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Okay. So, it's an off day for the Phillies and the Mets. It's a travel day. I mean, it's exhausting going the 100 miles. What? Baseball's only doing it for TV. They don't care about the travel day. It's just like, it's going to go to L.A. to San Diego. Really? Oh, yeah. And we're going to need a whole day to do that. It's all about TV.
I was going to say, they could probably walk to both and not need all day.
I know. And that Dodgers-Padres tied at a game apiece. And so far, the Padres have not used their closer, Suarez, yet. Interesting. I'll say this, Tanner Scott's been terrific. And so far, Ohtani is pulling, at this point, may all change if they go to San Diego. Ohtani right now is pulling a Mike Trout. Do you know what that means?
He had a homer in the first game.
And what did Mike Trout do in his first at-bat in the postseason?
Guessing homer?
Yep. What did Ohtani do in his first at-bat?
Homer.
Yep. What did Trout do after that home run in the series against Kansas City?
Not a lot.
Went 0 for 12. What has Ohtani done since the home run? Hasn't had a hit since. Uh-oh.
That was the only English he spoke at the press conference, though, when they asked if he was nervous.
What did he say, no?
Nope.
Well, if I had his talent, I wouldn't be nervous either.
True.
It's like, Bryce Harper, are you nervous? No. Well, guess what? I wouldn't be nervous either. It's like what I always kid around about a great scorer in basketball. And they'll say, God, he really moves without the ball so well. I say, yeah, well, if I knew I was getting the ball, I'd be moving too. Because I know at some point you're going to get me the ball. I'd move a lot too if I knew I was going to get the ball. So. Oh, goodness gracious. So. Yeah. If I had his talent, I'd be confident too. Yeah. And then what, the Royals are playing the Yankees. I think Judge went 0 for 3 in the opener?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Leaves are falling, right?
Yeah. It's getting close.
Yeah. See, what's the difference in postseason play and why I value so much about postseason play? I know there's always individual pressure in any situation. I'm trying to make the team, individual pressure. In a game, I need to make some plays, individual pressure. But in the playoffs, everything gets ratcheted up. So let's talk about the hitters for a moment. I talked about Trout, talked about Otani, talked about Judge. Right? The difference is now you're facing really good teams who got there because, for the most part, their rotations are pretty good. Their bullpens are pretty good. And you're facing them on an everyday basis. There's no breather where the White Sox come into town, right? Where suddenly you can get well, get your confidence back, and so forth. If you get off to a bad start sometimes with some of these teams, because they do have quality pitching, and you're seeing it on an everyday basis, it does become difficult. For example, I'll give you an example. The kid that the Padres acquired from the Marlins, Tanner Scott, he's been terrific. And he's hard to handle. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're Otani, Mookie Betts, whatever. You know, you see him one time, he's really good. He's really good. Right? You saw, you know, you had to face Yu Darvish. Darvish was tremendous. Now, you're going to miss out on Musgrove, because Musgrove has a UCL injury. And that's the bummer for that, because Musgrove's always been a good quality pitcher in his career. I don't care where he's been. I remember him. Geez, I remember him pitching against the Spikes when he was at Tri-City. I thought he was terrific. Okay? I've done a couple of Musgrove games in my career. And the one thing that, you know, and that's what, for example, like the Phillies are playing the Mets right now. I mean, the Phillies offensively struggled in game one. I mean, let's take the comeback aside and what they did to the bullpen. The bottom line is the Phillies scored one run in the first eight innings, right? Which has been a problem for them of late. They have not been really offensively playing well. I mean, in game one, they went 19 straight batters without a hit. 19 straight batters without a hit. And they made up for it yesterday. Because I felt yesterday, you know, especially late in the game, they played well. But they wasted Zach Wheeler's start because they could. I mean, Wheeler should never have exited yesterday's game with a 1-0 lead. Or, excuse me, Saturday's game with a 1-0 lead. He never should have exited the game with a 1-0 lead. He should have been up 4-0 in that game. He bought the offense all sorts of time to pick up a little run here, pick a run there, pick up a run there, and nothing. Okay? All right. Meanwhile, let's give the Mets pitchers credit. They kept the Mets in the game in game one and bought their offense time, and they came through in the eighth inning. They batted around. They had five singles and a walk. Yeah. Now, maybe it was the time of day, too. Time of day does enter into it. That time of day is hard to see. That's why Nolan Ryan pitched all those games in his career with the then California Angels, and they always started him on weekends and twilight games. It's 102. I can't see it. I can't see it when it's perfect conditions, let alone this. But that's what the issue was to me, was offensively, this has been too much of a struggle. And you're going to struggle more in the postseason because you're seeing the better pitchers as a staff on an every game basis, not just a great guy. Like, hey, I'm going to pitch my great guy today. Okay. Well, I expect the great guy to be a great guy. Well, guess what? You got to the playoffs because, you know, the Phillies are a great example. I started Wheeler. Well, the next day I started Sanchez. He's pretty darn good. Third game, I'm going to start Nola. He's really good. Yeah, you're not going to get that when you're facing the White Sox. You're not going to get that when you face the Marlins. You're not going to get that. So that's why you'll see even some of the star hitters struggle a bit. And that's why I admire the ones that are able to go out and play and hit in the postseason against anybody, because you are facing consistently the better pitchers as a collective group. That sound fair?
And I mean, if your opponent's using his 11th or 12th pitcher in the bullpen, you're probably doing pretty well. So, I mean, you're usually only seeing the top three starters and probably the top four bullpen arms.
Right. And that's where you are with all this. I mean, to me, that's going to be an issue for the Mets, because what they have, what, Maton? Who's been there before. We know what Diaz can do. I think the day off is huge for him.
Same thing with,
I mean, the Dodger bullpen, for example, has been a disaster for them. One guy's pitched pretty well. Tryon's pitched really well. The other guys, their Dodger bullpen's been a mess. And what did the Padres do? They destroyed that bullpen last night. And Jackson Merrill's a really good player. And Machado's playing at a high level. We'll see what happens with Bogarts. Bogarts got hurt. After he hit the home run, he got hurt last night. But that's when you're facing the better teams, which now it's getting whittled down to, you're going to get better pitching to deal with. It's one thing about the Phillies. They do have in their back pocket Game 5, they got Zach Wheeler, if it goes that far. I think that means something, because he's just that good. I just think he's that good.
Do you know Jackson Merrill never played center field until spring training this year?
Jackson Merrill's done a lot of things that the Padres have never had before.
Well, that's true. But
I mean, you look at the number of things by the age of 21, he is just a really terrific all-around player. And all credit to him. I mean, all credit to him, because he's just a really terrific all-around player. And it's not only he hit 21 home runs this year.
Yep.
To his credit, he also hit a boatload of doubles. I mean, this guy's got some gap power in there.
Yeah. He's only 21. He hasn't grown into his man strength yet.
Or maybe he's under the category of right now he doesn't know any better.
No, that's true, too.
I always love that when I hear, your young players are playing so well, and they don't know any better.
So young, you don't know to be nervous.
Really? I thought it was always like this. Okay, great. No. It's like when I took my son Mike, when he was 6 years old, I took him to a Red Sox Twins game up at Fenway Park for his first baseball game. And here's my oldest son. I went, 6 years old, let's go. So the Red Sox start Roger Clemens that night. Pitches great for 7 innings. And then the bullpen comes in and gives it all up. And Lee Smith, who usually had been great in his career as a closer, gives up a home run to Kirby Puckett. And it goes to extra innings. He gives up a home run to Kirby Puckett in the 9th inning. Goes to extra innings. In the 8th inning, Jim Rice was pinch hit for by the manager, Joe Morgan. Not Joe Morgan of the Reds or the Astros, but Joe Morgan. And they got into a fight in the dugout, and our seats were on the third base side so we can see the fight. So we see the fight. Then the game got delayed, because the guy got up on the guy wire holding up the backstop and starts shimmying down the guy wire, so they had to stop the game. The guy, like, goes past us, and he gets up and he tries to lead the fans and cheers while standing on the backstop, and the fans are booing him. And he finally ran up the screen into the Red Sox broadcast booth where the police promptly arrested him. In the bottom of the 10th inning, Todd Benzinger hits a three-run homer for the Red Sox to walk off and win it. So my son's all excited, the whole thing, and I said, Mike, and I said, let's think about everything that happened here tonight. I said, you saw Roger Clemens, you saw a walk-off home run, you saw Kirby Puckett homer, you saw a guy in the guy wire, you saw a fight in the dugout. I said, just so you know, not every game is like this. Just figure I had to tell him about that. They're not all quite like that. So. That's what makes all sports so much fun. You don't know what you're going to get. We would talk about the Eagles, but the good news is they didn't lose yesterday.
Yeah, but the Giants and Redskins and the Cowboys won, so they kind of did lose.
Well, guess who's in first place? The Commanders.
Yeah.
The Commanders are in first place.
Oh, no. I just went Redskins, didn't I? Good heavens.
Don't worry about it. It happens. No big deal. Yeah. This is not a judgment zone here. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some knucklehead out there that's like all offended you did it, and that's okay. You live... Yeah, but... Daniels has played very well to this point. He was okay yesterday. Wasn't great. He was okay. I mean, but they have multi ways of winning. And Washington's playing with confidence. Dallas last night, let's be honest about it, they dominated the game. But they made too many mistakes. Steelers stayed in it, kind of hung around. Got the touchdown. Fields did enough good things. But Dallas moved the ball all night. They just kept killing themselves with turnovers. Then finally at the end when they needed it, they got it. And then Tolbert scored with 20 seconds to go. They won the game.
And they almost turned it over the play before.
I know. They almost turned it over the play before because he gave the ball to Dowdell. And he got absolutely... Well, Roberts, I think, is the one that threw his helmet, hit the ball. And remember, Dak Prescott, when he handed it off, is moving to his right, and the ball was to his left, and Dak had to pivot and go back and get the ball. I mean, that's how perilously close they were to losing that game last night. And the Giants, under the category of you have to be kidding me, won. And Daniel Jones played, actually, to his credit, played a great game. And let's give the rookie quarterback some love here. After doing really nothing except for Daniels, starting with the Bengals game, right? Yesterday, Bo Nix, I think, threw three touchdowns. Caleb Williams threw for over 300 and a couple more touchdowns, and Daniels followed up his performance with another good one. The three rookie quarterbacks, all three won yesterday, and all three played well. And what a difference Daniels makes. He doesn't run all the time, but he runs just enough to keep a team off balance. They already have had really good running backs to begin with. And I think what's happening is that the fact that the Washington offense can perform at the level they are performing at with him at the helm is giving their defense more confidence.
As I said, I think they had 7 sacks yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's face it, Deshaun Watson.
Ugh.
That's going to go down as one of the worst trades. Look, you and I both felt, and I know you weren't doing the show at the time, but I know you feel the same way I do. When they made the trade, the trade made no sense. The trade made no sense when they made it because of the timing of what was going on in Watson's life. Because on the field, he'd been good, not great, but you're kind of like, okay. And they gave up so much collateral to get him. It's almost like with Carolina, what they did with the Bears. I mean, did you see the sign in the Bears game yesterday?
No, I didn't see the sign.
It said, "Thank you, Carolina, Bryce Young for," and they listed all the players they got. Okay.
They gave him, not only did they give him a lot, Deshaun Watson, so much money, it's all guaranteed. They're locked. Like, they can't even do anything about it.
I know. I mean, every move that they made regarding him on the Cleveland side, if you wanted to make a list of mistakes, they checked every box. So, yeah.
Could always be worse. You could always be a Browns fan.
Well, I know. I mean, it's difficult to do it because, you know, what's interesting is when they brought in Joe Flacco last year, they won. You know, they had to because Watson was hurt. And that's what, you know. Like, okay, well, why can he perform so well with them and this guy can't? And he's the guy they spent all the collateral on to get. But let's give Washington credit. I've got a feeling that if Washington had the first overall pick, just a feeling, they still would have drafted Daniels. He's the right fit for them so far. And you watch him play. Daniels is a fun player to watch. Robert Griffin III, in his rookie season, was a really fun player to watch. I mean, you're like, wow. You just wondered, with his frame and everything, would he be able to stay injury-free? And, of course, when the Ravens game, that's where we found out the answer to that was no. And after that injury, he really was never quite the same again. So, yeah. But, yeah, interesting day. Everybody in the Division I, except for the Eagles. What? Is that a fact?
Yes.
They didn't play. Did they win? Matt's at home. No! Going to talk to Mark Wogenrich today. Isn't this a fun time of the year? Hey, you got college football. You got Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Field storming cost him $100,000. Arkansas beats Tennessee. Field storming cost them $250,000. I think because they're a multiple offender, I think. All right. Minnesota beats USC. Field storming. Okay. Washington beats Michigan. Field storming. It was supposed to be a rather benign weekend in college football, yet it was exciting and dynamic. Alabama never led that game. It's the first time in 5 years they weren't in front in a game. They never led. Every time Alabama got to within one score, Vanderbilt came down the field, answered, made it a two-score game again. Made it a two-possession game. Every time. Wow. That was so cool to watch. I watched the last quarter and a half when I got home. That was wow. Then I watched Arkansas-Tennessee. That was wow. There's a lot of wow on Saturdays. A lot of fun. Right? Then you got the baseball playoffs. Phillies and Mets have been wow to this point. And, you know, you got the Guardians and Tigers today, and you got the Yankees Royals today. That's the baseball playoffs. Every pitch means something. Wow. The NHL opens tomorrow night. This is just a fun time of the year. I love this. I love this. All right. Take a break. Mark Wogenrich next. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.